Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
The church is held to a higher responsibility. To be a part of the church of the living God and feel no responsibility, something didn't take. That's just truth. God didn't save us just for the, hey, got nothing better to do, let's save them. But he would mention and tell his disciples, he said, pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest. He knew that he would be here for just a short time. He knew that he would walk this world in the flesh for just a short while, spreading the gospel, telling people who he was, showing love and compassion to those that nobody else wanted to look at, and then finally giving his life, shedding his blood so that we could be washed from our sins, put in a tomb, rose from the dead 3 days later, showed himself to many people, ascended up to heaven and said, I'll be back. Sent the Holy Ghost in fire on the day of Pentecost, blessed his people. We are part of the greatest entity ever on the planet. The church is greater than the United States of America. The church is greater than any country on the planet. We are greater than any cause. We are greater than any political party. The church is the greatest, absolute, most important, most vital entity on the planet today. Because there is no one going to be saved outside of the body. I'm not talking about a church building or a denominational organization. I said the body. You won't be saved outside of the body. And so the church has a very important job to do. And now we can get away from ads, and we can get away from campaigning. We can get away from political slogans, and we can get busy simply doing what God called us to do. We can get first and forefront in our mind the Great Commission. That's what I want to talk to us tonight is just about the Great Commission. And what is the Great Commission? You'll read it in the scripture. You'll read in Matthew how he talked about, they recorded the words of Jesus, and he said, make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe all the things that I've told you, and baptize them, and go everywhere doing this. In Mark, he said, preach the gospel to every creature on the planet, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he would just tell them, you've got to go. He gave them a little insight into that while he walked this planet, and he would send his disciples out in twos, and they would go out preaching the gospel and healing the sick and casting out spirits, and they would come back rejoicing, saying, you know, we're doing what you sent us to do, and even the spirits are subject to us through your name. He said, but that's not the most important thing. He said, the most important thing is that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And as we now are in this time period where the Lord has done his work and has sent the Holy Ghost back to the church, God has poured his Spirit out on all flesh, and he gave them instruction, told them what to do. And this is how people will get their name into the Lamb's book of life, through us being the church that he called us to do. What do we do now? How do we stay on point, Lord, now that all these things are over with and our focus can get back to just being the church? What is it that we need to do? We need to love people. The Bible says to owe no man anything but to love one another. We need to have mercy as he had mercy. We need to show compassion on people in this world today. We need to love our neighbor. Yeah, we need to love our neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Anybody you see walking and talking, that's your neighbor. Living and breathing, that's your neighbor. We need to love our neighbor. We need to let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We need to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We need to be the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Something about a bride, people, it's when you, if you ever you go to a wedding, when the doors open and the bride is presented, boy, everybody stands up. It's a special moment. And let me tell you, if people can see the bride, they're going to react. But we've got to be the bride. You won't see a woman spend all this time looking for the purse, saying yes to the dress, and then show up on her wedding day with a stocking hat on and a flannel shirt and a pair of coveralls and come walking through the back door. And people are like, who's that? They won't recognize her. But when she comes in and she's spent that time and she's fixed herself and she's got that white dress on, they're going to know that's the bride. Let's stand and honor the bride as she comes in. And let me tell you, when people see the bride being the bride, they're going to know that there's something wonderful in this world. There's something going on in this world. I want the church to be the church. I want the bride. I want us the bride to be the bride. I want us to do the things that Jesus asked us to do. I don't want to forget what the purpose of the church actually is. You know, we can get so busy having church that we forget we are the church. We can get so caught up in service that we forgot whose servant we are. Yeah, we can even get busy with programs, even doing good things, reaching out to our community, but forgetting that there's something more than just handing them a sandwich. There's something more than just putting a dollar in their cup. There's something more than just meeting those physical needs. We can tell them about the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. This is what we are, and if that bothers people. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want no responsibility. Well, you're looking in the wrong place, because God did not save us again for us to just be saved unto ourselves. But he said, you are a city that sit on a hill and it cannot be hid. You do not light. I don't give you this light so you can put it under a bushel. He said, but it's supposed to be sit on a candlestick so it lights the whole room and everyone that's in it is blessed and influenced by the light that you are shining. I want to make sure that I remember the purpose of the church. One place in the book of Luke, the Great Commission is recorded. I want to read from there in Luke 24, starting in 44. Jesus has, of course, he has already risen from the dead, and he is showing himself to his disciples. And they are now just a few days after, you know, some great things and terrible things and heartbreaking things have happened in their life. They watched the Lord be crucified. They watched him, you know, die on that cross. They saw them put him in the tomb. And now maybe a little unsure, because they saw him raise the dead. They saw him walk on water. They saw him feed multitudes. But for him to be back, you know, to see that it was, they were afraid. Some thought it was just a spirit, but he was telling them, no, I am flesh and blood. He would even eat food in front of them. It's me, I'm back. But he starts talking to them in verse 44. He says, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. God had a plan all along, and he said, and it will be, and it was fulfilled. So then he opens up their understanding. Let me tell you what I'm talking about, and so they could understand the scripture. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. There was not a more awful experience for them, but it was never a more needful experience for them. Oh, to watch this man that they loved, that they had spent time with, that they had listened to and learned from. He was their rabbi. He was their master. He was their Lord. He was their friend. And they loved him and he loved them. And to watch him be arrested and mocked and beaten and just murdered on a cross was horrible. To see that body ripped to shreds and placed in that tomb was awful. There were two men walking on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord came near to them. They didn't even know it was him. And he said, "Why is it that you're so sad as you're walking down this road?" They were tore up over the things that had happened, but it was needful. Sometimes the things that break our heart are setting us up for the greatest miracle that we will ever experience. I'm sure that their hope was dashed. They thought, man, this is the end of life. We really thought that he was going to set things right. Now he's gone, but he's back. And he was able to come and talk to them and tell them. He said, "It had to happen. I had to suffer. I had to die, but I rose again on the third day." And it had to happen, so what needs to happen for you can happen. If he had not died, there is no remission of sin. If he had not risen from the dead, there is no hope of the gospel. Our faith is in vain, according to the Apostle Paul. But what was so awful and terrible and heartbreaking had to happen. It needed to happen. We can't forget about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need that today. It was part of God's plan. But then he said unto them also in verse 47, "And now that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." He's beginning to give them the commission. He's telling them about he's giving them their marching orders. He's telling them, "This is what I want you to do. And you are witnesses of all these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Talking about the Holy Ghost that would be poured out. "But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And then after he told them all these things, told them what he expected, what needed to be done, what needed to be said, he leads them out as far as Bethany, and he lifts up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. He blessed them after he instructed them. Let me tell you, we are a blessed people because of God. God has always blessed his people. We've always been the apple of his eye. And I'm going to read something in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. I want to read this just so you'll kind of see the way God looked at his people. In Deuteronomy 28, it said, "And it would come to pass, if you would hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." That's his people. God told you, his people, the church, that entity is greater than any other entity on the planet. He said, "I will set my people up above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and shall overtake thee if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. The fruit of thy cattle, the increase of the kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They'll come out one way and flee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you in the storehouse and all that you set your hand to do, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God will give you." God will bless us in this land if we will be obedient to him. Hello. We can't stop what God has in store, but we can be blessed in the land if we do what God has asked us to do. And when God gives us his word and gives us his statutes and his commandments and tells us what to do, he's telling us about the blessings, but he's expecting something out of his people. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. And if you keep the commandment of the Lord your God and walk in his way, all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain in your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath, if that you hearken to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Let me tell you, God has blessed his people. And I read all these things because I believe that these blessings apply to the church today. There are so many promises in Scripture that are a blessing to us today and make us to be a blessed people. We have his word, number one. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Provision, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Mercy, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, is by grace through faith that you are saved. The love of God that separates us from this world. The peace of God that passeth understanding. The strength that we get when we wait upon the Lord. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Beauty for ashes. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I have the power that when I fall, I shall arise. I can get back up. I have power, according to Jesus, over all the power of the enemy. I have the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord that is a strong tower that the righteous run into and are saved, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. We are a blessed people. And this is what, when Jesus was talking to those disciples, now the scripture tells us in one place that he was seen of above about 500. Maybe this was the 500 that followed him out of the city, and he lifted up his hands to bless them. But somehow we only figure out that about 120 went where he told them to go. Go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. But only a few really went. So where, what happened to the other 380? I don't know. But maybe it's just like it is today. Some people are just satisfied with being blessed, but they don't want to follow the mission. The word of God is a blessing to anybody. The mercy of God that's new every morning is a blessing to everybody. But everybody's not following the Great Commission. And if you're going to be in the church, you're going to be included in the Great Commission. Hello. If you're going to believe in him and say, I believe that he lived and that he died and that he rose from the dead. I believe that he is God Almighty manifest in the flesh that come to save my soul. I believe he sent the Holy Ghost and filled me, and I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I was baptized in his name and my sins were washed away. When you believe that and become part of the body, then you've got to work with the body. He gave it an example of the body for a reason, because there's nothing, I don't go anywhere when I get up in the morning that this whole body don't go with me. Sometimes I feel like I left part of it in the bed. But the truth of the matter is it's all there. Some of it might be lagging. Some of it might be dragging. Some of it may feel like it don't work like it used to. But it's still part of the body. And wherever I go, it's going to go. It's part of the body, so I want it to do what it's supposed to do. Ain't nothing worse than when you have a foot out of joint, or when you got a finger or bone that's out of socket and it's still there, but boy, it ain't working. It hurts. It's out of its place. You've ever popped your shoulder out of joint, and that's painful. But how good it feels when it comes back into place and you can move the way you're supposed to move again. When God baptizes us into the body by his Spirit, we're in one body. And he expects us to work with the body. The Bible says We are workers together with him. I can't forget about the mission of the church. Oh, I got number one, friend, don't forget to love. The Bible says, I said it a while ago, that we owe no man anything but to love one another. The Bible says we only love him because he first loved us. So get busy loving people first. I want to be like God and just go ahead and love them. Oh, but well, they don't know me and I don't really know them. I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about love them like God loves them. For God so loved the world that he gave. Be a giver to people. Give people the gospel. He said he gave his only son that who would ever believe in him might not perish but have everlasting life. So when I see people, I can give them the hope of the gospel. I can tell them that God loves them, that he died for their sins and he rose from the dead and he's coming back one day to get a people. That's the mission of the church. And I don't want to forget, in the midst of everything else that's been going on, clouding our minds and trying to weigh us down, that the church has a job in this world. And it's bigger. Get this. It's bigger than electing the president of the United States. Because that's a temporary kingdom. That's a temporary position. But the kingdom of heaven is forever. And we're trying to get people ready so when he shows up, they can go and meet him in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. We're trying to get them into a kingdom that will never fade away. I don't want to forget about the mission of the church. We are a blessed people. But God did not bless me just for the sake of blessing me. Oh, be blessed. You know, people, they love that, to tag themselves with that. They've got car tags. I see people's license plate. And, you know, they put it on things on their social media. Too blessed to be stressed. Hey, real, though, because they more stressed than anybody. But blessed and highly favored. You know what? That makes me want to just throw up my mouth a little bit when they say that. I'm so tired. That's been used so much. You know what? People are trying to live off blessings. But Jesus told them about a promise. And I want more than the blessing. I want the promise. 380 people went somewhere, but 120 said, I'm going to get the promise. But all 500 was blessed. Let me tell you two facts about blessed people that you learn right there in the book of Luke. You're going to learn, number one, that they have a mission. Because before he ever blessed them, he told them, go preach repentance and remission of sins in my name in Jerusalem. The other thing is that they are fully equipped with what they need to fulfill it. God does not bless you without equipping you. We cannot just camp out on a blessing. We can't just, go. 120 went that way, 380 went back, said, we really got a blessing today. I've seen a lot of people get a blessing in church but never get the promise. Oh, I've seen them roll. I've seen them shout their hair down. I've seen them sling their shoes off. I've seen them run around the building. And oh, what a blessing church was today. But you came short of the promise. I don't know what it was like standing on the outside of that city with the resurrected Savior blessing you. I don't think everybody was like, what? He just in great form today. Wow. You know, he just rose from the dead. Look how good he looks. Yeah, just, but let me tell you, I have a feeling people probably hit the ground. People probably fell out. Because there was something trying to cut, but it wasn't time. And they couldn't speak in tongues yet. They couldn't get, but boy, somebody might have run. I'll meet y'all in Jerusalem. I'm gone. And just took off. But you're going to tell me that the resurrected Lord and Savior is lifting up his hands and blessing you, and you're, I appreciate that, Lord. Oh, no. Something was going on. But he wasn't blessing them just so they could feel good for a while, just so they could fall out into dust, just so they would have a story to tell. He said, I told you before I blessed you, I've got a mission. that I died, I came and I died for your sins and I rose from the dead. Now go and preach. Now go and preach repentance and remission of sins in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. And that's exactly what they did when Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off. You see, he told them, oh, we were blessed to be with him. We were blessed to walk with him. Oh, we were blessed to hear him. But now the promise is here. And you need more than a blessing. Let me tell you, anybody talks to you about Jesus, that's a blessing. Anytime you get to go to church and hear the word, that's a blessing. But he said, whosoever hears this gospel and believes it, and is baptized shall be saved. He said, when you can hear it and go your way and you'll be blessed, or you can obey it and get the promise. Get the promise of your sins washed away. Get the promise of the Spirit living inside of you. Get the promise of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, that when, whether you are alive or dead, that when he appears in the clouds, you'll be raised up to meet him, and so shall you ever be with the Lord. And that's what we get to tell people. There's hope beyond this life. There's something better than this world. Oh, there's something that'll change you from the inside out. And it'll do more than bless you. Oh, it'll give you a promise. That's why early on Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me. I'm going away to prepare a place that where I am, you can be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. But if I go away, I'm going to come again so I can receive you unto myself. I'm going to do it. It's a promise. I want to make sure that I'm not just camping out on the blessing. Blessed people, they have a mission and they are fully equipped with what they need to fulfill it. And that's the danger for us. Because we'll never be able to say, God, I didn't have what I needed to do what you asked me to do. But you did. If the parable of the talents teaches me anything at all, that when the master blesses me with something, I'm supposed to be using it. Not burying it. Not sitting on it. Oh, what? Because it was a blessing, whatever that man with one talent had, it was a blessing. But instead of you going on for the promise of it being able to multiply, he just hid it in the ground. Then tried to play it off like that was a good thing. Here it is, Lord, just like it was when you gave it to me. But I didn't give it to you to get it back like it was. You should have done something so I'd have got it back with interest. You should have done something so it could have grown. You should have done something with it because it had the ability. I gave you something with the ability. Don't just camp out on your blessing. Woo! The church had their orders and the power to carry it out. Oh, it was coming. Go tarry for the promise and you'll be endued with power from on high. What a blessing. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing unfulfilled and without reward if you just sit on it. If you just sit on the Great Commission, nothing happens. If you just sit, that's why Paul was, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. God said, my word won't return void. And when you preach my word, something's going to happen. But if you just sit there silent, hoarding what I gave you, hoarding the blessing. It's a blessing that goes unrealized. The promise will never be realized. It's unfulfilled. There's no reward for sitting on the blessing. There's no reward for simply hearing what is true. There's no reward for simply knowing about the power. There's no reward in being able to quote scripture. We've got to believe it and obey it and embrace it and share it and shine it and sprinkle it like salt. We've got to be what God called us to be. If somebody $100,000 to $500,000, that's life-changing money. Is anybody here whose life would not be changed by $500,000? That's okay. So somebody comes up to you and says, here's $500,000. You go, appreciate that. And you go inside and you stick it in a drawer and you don't put it in the bank and you never spend a dime. And your house gets foreclosed on, and you don't make your car payment, and your utilities get cut off, and you don't have groceries, and it's sitting in the, right there in the suitcase, right there in the drawer, right there in your closet somewhere, and there it is, and all the power to change your life goes unrealized because you simply took what was a blessing and stowed it away. That's not the mission of the church. We know what the gospel can do, and we ought to be doing what Jesus asked us to do with it. It will change the lives of men. It'll change the life of women. It'll change the life of your coworkers. It'll change the life of your spouse, of your family, of your friends, of your brothers, of your sisters. That's what the commission is. That's why it's the Great Commission. Because there's nothing like it. There'll never be anything to compare to it. There's nothing. When we talk about people say, let me tell you, it is great to live in this country. This country's got a lot of work needs. It's fallen. It's roughed up. It's not where it ought to be. But it's still the best country, in my opinion, anyway, to be living in right now. Because I can wake up and go to the house of the Lord without worrying about somebody locking me up. I can still preach the gospel without fear of going to jail right now. I can still worship God and just love Him in this country. I can still have a job and have money and have a home and own things right now. This is still a good country. And we are privileged to be here. But friend, let me tell you, being born an American will not get me into heaven. Being born an American did not get me out of darkness. But being born again of the water and of the Spirit called me out of darkness into His marvelous light, that I might show forth the praises of this mighty God. Being born again is what's going to get me into the kingdom. And friend, there is not a greater place to be than in the kingdom of God. There's not a greater place to be than in the body and in the church. Friend, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We are provided for. We are protected. We are nourished. We are blessed. We are fed. We are taken care of in the body of Christ. And this world needs what we've got. It needs what we have. I'm checking the time. And so that basically, tonight, I simply wanted to remind us. I wanted to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance because, like I said, I feel like with everything that's going on, honestly, since 2016, our country has been on a political roller coaster. And ever since 2016, politics has been pushed to the forefront of every newspaper, magazine, TV show, talk show, radio show, everything. It's just politics, 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 this, that, this, that, this, that. And it's just engulfing us. Trying to convince us that it's, more important than anything you'll ever do is who you get elected. And it is important. And I believe in that. I believe that we ought to pray and we ought to vote. And I believe we ought to stand for the biblical principles that we hold dear. And also, I believe in every bit of that. But I want to remind us that there is nothing more important, there is nothing more powerful or life-altering than the message of this Great Commission, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no greater power than God. And the gospel is the power of God. Romans 1 and 16 said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You see, he said the gospel doesn't see Jew, just Jew or just Greek. It's Jew or Greek. Circumcised or uncircumcised. Don't matter, Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. The gospel does not see red or blue. The gospel sees a living, breathing soul created in the image of the living God. And that is my job, to tell anybody and everybody, as many people as I can, that God loves you and wants to save you. That's what the mission of the church is. Pay attention to the world, of course. We don't bury our head in the sand. We don't neglect our duties and responsibilities. We should pray and vote. We must do that. But we must also be very careful, because it's just a short trip to the other side of the spectrum where we become consumed by the things of this world. But Paul would write this advice and this instruction to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. He would tell us, I think I'll just read it here. He said, "Timothy, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And then he said, "No man that warreth," so no soldier of Jesus Christ entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Does it say he's not concerned about them, prays about them, maybe even involved in them to some point? But don't get entangled where you can't get out of it, where it has consumed you to the point that that's your identity. That's all you are now. You just, anytime somebody sees you, they don't see a Christian, they see a politician. No man that warreth entangles himself. We've got a war, spiritual warfare. We're fighting spiritual things, spiritual battles. We're fighting for the souls of men. We're trying to win people to the kingdom. We cannot afford to get so wrapped up in other things that we forget the mission. Every soldier has a mission. He said, if you get tangled up, you will not be able to please the one who chose you to be a soldier. I want to make sure I'm pleasing to God. And so, no, I'm not going to get tangled up in this stuff. I prayed and I voted and I voted my conscience and I voted what I felt and I did my civic duty for the country. But when I woke up this morning, I didn't know who was going to win, what it was going to be. I had no idea. But it wouldn't have mattered to me, because I was still going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. Would I have been disappointed if my candidate had not won? Sure, just like anybody would. Naturally, I would have been, and I would have wondered, well, what's going to be next? And I still wonder what's going to be next for our country. But what I don't wonder about is God. He is a firm foundation. He said, "I am the Lord and I change not." All I got to do is look back right here and I can encourage myself in the Lord who never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I don't want to get so tangled up or wrapped up that it ruins my witness. Because I've got a job to do, to tell somebody. But let me tell you, You can get so wrapped up in that stuff that nobody wants to hear anything you've got to say. And you have no witness. The light has been put out. It's been covered up. It's under a bushel. And I don't want that. I want to have a pure light shining before men. There is no greater mission than the salvation of souls. Paul had a powerful testimony. An example. He knew about things of the world. And he knew what it was like to be a man in the world and to be a man of a great nation, because he was of the nation of Israel, and that's God's chosen people. And he knew that in his flesh, if he wanted to, he could boast. He said this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But he said, the things that were gained to me, the things that would make my name great, the things that would fill my cupboard, the things that would bless my bank account, the things that were gained for me, I counted those things lost for Christ, because nothing is as important as the salvation of souls. Nothing is more important than Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. There's nothing that's going to come my way that will ever overshadow my mission for the church. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. There is nothing greater that I can do. And he feels like he did that. He wrote later that I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight and I have kept the faith. I did it. I am ready to be offered. He let go of things. And that's, if we could just see that while those things are things that we have in this life and they make our life better or maybe a little easier, but they're not worth your soul and they're not worth your witness and they're not worth your ministry. Jesus would ask them, he said, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Don't trade your soul for a yard sign. Because ultimately, you know what? No matter who you vote for, they can't stay in there forever. But Jesus will be king forever. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, Paul would just be very simple to the church. I'm determined. This is what he's writing to the church. He said, among the church, among the saints, among the people, he said, I am determined not to know anything among you. People don't like, and I know they don't, I know they try to be a little shady toward me around political seasons because I always tell them, you're not going to preach politics from this pulpit. You're not going to campaign in the sanctuary or anywhere else, because that's not what we do. I'm going to vote, but in here we're not talking about that. In here we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the King. We're talking about souls being saved. We're talking about the gospel. And this is what Paul said, among the church, I'm not going off on all kind of crazy things. I'm not deterred. I'm just going to know anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel. He said, I'm going to preach the gospel. That's what I do. And so if people don't like it, so what? I'm just going to be like Paul. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm just going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to tell you, you ought to vote. You should vote. Pray about it and vote. Do whatever you have to do. But don't let it be all-consuming in your life. Because God did not call us to be politicians. He called us to be Christians. If you're a politician, that's something you decide to go into. But once we believe the gospel and are born again, we're in the body. God gave us that. God gave us that. And friend, I want to fulfill that calling that he's given us. And I'm getting close to finishing up here. I said this before. I posted something yesterday, and I'll just kind of paraphrase. Now, the election is over. Things are different, but the mission of the church is the same. Things are different. Tomorrow, things will be different. Next week, it'll be different. We don't know what's coming yet. We don't know what's going to actually happen. We have hopes. We have ideas and things that we want to see come to pass, but we really don't know what's going to happen. We still have to sit back and wait. No matter who we put in the driver's seat, we're still passengers. You know, just get it. We don't have a steering wheel. We're buckled in, hoping for the best. Praise God. But the mission of the church is still the same. We are still laborers in the harvest. We're still supposed to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. We're still supposed to be shining our light before men. We're still supposed to be loving one another, let brotherly love continue, loving our neighbor. And we're still supposed to be praying for our country. You know, the president, no matter who he or she would be, the president is flesh and blood, and they need the gospel too. Their position or office is not the end of their life. That doesn't save them. They still need the plan of salvation. They still have to hear the gospel. Somebody needs to be able to preach to politicians. And not for social media likes. They need to do it discreetly and go in and say, look, I just want to tell you, I wish that I could get 10 minutes with a president. And I'd say, you ain't got to say nothing, just listen. And for 10 minutes, I'm going to lay it out. Do with it what you will, but at least I'll know that somebody came to you and told you about Jesus. I wish somebody would do that instead of trying to see what kind of photo op they could get with him from it. Just go in secretly. Catch him in the back of a limo somewhere and sit down. Say, hey, 10 minutes. Bribe one of them secret agent guys and say, hey, let me jump in here for a minute. You might get tased or shot. But, I mean, they stoned Paul, so, I mean, you know, I mean. Stand with me. I'm going to read this last portion of Scripture here. I read some of this last night before prayer. This is a lot of context in what Paul wrote to Timothy right here. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The Scripture uses all in a lot of places. It makes those verses hard to swallow. You're supposed to love all people. But died for all men. So he said, do these things for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We can pray for leaders and they may never change. So the country could still stay in turmoil. But I can have peace and a peaceable life knowing that I have done what I was supposed to do. That I have prayed for them, interceded for them, and asked God to show mercy to them. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved regardless of their affiliation, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. See, somebody needs to be telling these people in power about the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He needs to be talked about and what he did, who he is. But then verse 7, he said, to this gospel, to the life story of this man who loved me and gave himself for me, rose from the dead, called me to this ministry. He said, to this gospel I am ordained. I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. You're never ordained as a politician. But you can be ordained a preacher and an apostle, a saint, a child of God, a minister of the gospel. And he said, so I'm ordained by God as a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I am a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I am a teacher to people unlike me. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But he said, I'm a teacher to the Gentiles. I'm a teacher to people that I used to would not walk on the same side of the road with them. I am now a teacher to people unlike me. That's the mission of the church. Be a light to people unlike you. People who don't look like you. People who don't vote like you. Yep. We're supposed to be a light to the world. I'm thankful for the Great Commission.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.